Hi, this is Rob Burrows for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, inviting you to our annual Black and White Boondocker Ball. Dinner and dance and costume contests, Saturday, October 5th at the Anderson VFW Hall in Anderson, California. Live music, buffet dinner, and live auction. Sponsor tables are $500. Tickets are $35 each. For more information, call 378-2280. That's 378-2280. We'll see you there.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004. But our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You'll never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Cigars, spirits, and diversions. The Cigar and Pleasure-Friendly Hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
The war on men, the war on meat continues. We will get to it today. We celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month. We've got a great special guest, our number two today, Jackie Zykin, the master taster at Old Forster Bourbon, joining us from Kentucky. Interesting background. She's responsible. She's the face of the brand, if you will, kind of an ambassador, but also is involved with tasting with the master distiller. Make sure that Old Forster tastes the way it should, involved in the single barrel bourbon program. We're excited to talk to her. Unique story as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month, and I am looking right now at four magnificent bourbons that I will enjoy from Old Forster, including the Birthday Bourbon 2007. Can't get it anymore. Off the charts. Long Ash, greetings and salutations. A Long Ash snappy salute. Semper Delectatio. Always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again. Make masculinity great again. Screw the enemies of pleasure. Screw the enemies of plastic. Screw the enemies of meat consumption. As always, your five-star global general and alpha male in chief, front and center from Command Center Alpha in the Cigar City. As always, make sure that you follow me on social media. Go to CigarDave.com, upper right-hand corner, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter. My number one preference, but we post everywhere, Twitter at Cigar Dave Show. Send me emails, written communications, CigarDave@CigarDave.com. The story you're about to hear is true. The names have not been changed as to not protect the guilty. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. The man who loves to welcome everybody. The man who stood up when someone asked a question on behalf of all mankind. He stopped that person and said, excuse me, let me pause right there. People kind. We don't use the word mankind, people kind. Mr. Political Correctness Extraordinaire, PC number 1A in Canada. Eh? Well, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau had a little splaining to do, it seems. That 19 years ago, when he was an adult, at various parties appeared in blackface. Photographs, videos have turned up from Time magazine. Here's what Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, a contrite PC Justin Trudeau, had to say.
This is something that I deeply, deeply regret. Darkening your face, regardless of the context or the circumstances, is always unacceptable because of the racist history of blackface. I should have understood that then, and I never should have done it.
Now, according to Mr. Political Prime Minister Correctness himself, if you darken your face sitting outside, like I like to get a little sun, a little vitamin D, just get a little color on my skin, apparently now that is taboo. But we know what he's talking about. Blackface. You don't need to be of privilege or white privilege or any sort of privilege to know as an adult that you don't do it. The only exception, I would say, is if you are impersonating such as Frank Caliendo, who is a great master impressionist, does a lot of sports figures, does Charles Barkley. It's terrible. It's just terrible. You're knucklehead. He appeared with Charles Barkley, all cool, looking exactly like Charles Barkley. That's acceptable. But to do it in a party in that sort of form is unacceptable. You don't need to hide behind privilege to say, oh, I was privileged. I didn't understand that. I didn't realize it. Please, come on. You know better than that. Justin Trudeau, Mr. Political Correctness himself, Mr. Let's Welcome Everybody, Mr. We don't use the term mankind, it's people kind. Now all of a sudden, Mr. Contrite. He was an adult when he did this. He's in big trouble. Or as Charles Barkley would say, it's terrible. He's a knucklehead. Now, in the spirit of transparency, because as we know now, pictures can come out many years after the fact, pictures, videos. I must come clean, something I did in college, and I ask that you listen to what I have to say, because I want to be perfectly clear and total candor, total transparency, something I did my freshman year in college. For Halloween, what I came dressed as. To be perfectly candid, because pictures may come out. I know I have some pictures of it. Pictures may come out. I don't know. Time, the Washington Compost, the New York Slime, maybe one of the networks may come out with it. They may find it and expose me. Back in October of 1986, as a freshman at Syracuse University, Lawrence and Hall, in the dormitory, we had a Halloween party. And I want to be very clear what I came, my costume was. Again, coming clean, transparency, because pictures may come out. For that Halloween party, I came as Playboy founder Hugh Hefner. And I had two hot bunnies next to me that actually looked like Playboy bunnies. They had ample décolletage and rackage and stackage showing. They had the bunny costumes with the little cottontail on the back, short little costume showing their rack, showing their legs. I was dressed in a robe. I had a working pipe, I might add. You could use the pipe and smoke it back then in 1986. And I walked around with both dames on my arm, both freshmen as well. Everybody loved it. But I know there are pictures that are going to come out, could come out. I've got pictures. There could be videos. I don't know. But I want to be transparent and clean. And I also want to be very, very candid that in no way, shape, or form would I ever in a million years apologize for going as Playboy founder and publisher Hugh Hefner, the man that loved to put gorgeous dames buck naked in the magazine. And subsequently in videos, the man who championed the beauty of the naked female body, the man who was a perfect champion of men being men and male humor. Great interviews, too. Great articles in the magazine. But let's face it, back then, I preferred much more looking at the hot dames, the pictures, than the articles. Although the articles and the interviews, exceptional in many cases, in most cases. So I'm coming clean. I dressed, I went as Hugh Hefner. I had the ascot on. I had the robe. I had the pipe. And I had two bodacious, beautiful, lovely freshman co-eds, one on each arm, wearing Playboy attire. I can picture it now, and I can tell you, absolutely magnificent. They loved it. I loved it. And if the pictures come out, if it's politically incorrect, so be it. No way in hell will I ever apologize. I don't apologize for being a male. I don't apologize for being a man. I don't apologize for being an alpha male. I don't apologize for being a male that appreciates gorgeous dames. I also don't apologize for being a perfect gentleman with great manners. The war on men continues. Monday night, Washington Square Park in New York City. Elizabeth Warren makes a big speech. The war on men, very apparent.
We are not here today because of famous arches or famous men. In fact, we're not here because of men at all.
Nice political calculation to essentially tick off, denigrate, berate 50% of the voting Americans. Very nice. No surprise. Now, she talked about the arches for a second. I thought she was doing her speech in front of McDonald's. Those are the really famous arches. But instead, she was in front of the famous arches that are in Washington Square Park. The arches that pay tribute specifically to, well, one man in general, and that is George Washington, a majestic 200-year-old arch where Warren set up her podium, her flag, her microphone, her campaign signage. It celebrates the founding father of the United States, George Washington, the first president, celebrates George Washington's inauguration as the first president of the United States in 1789. Very nice. Have a campaign speech right in front of the arches to celebrate George Washington, our great first president, founder of the United States, a great general, leads the Revolutionary Army to victory. And yet, Elizabeth Warren, in front of that arch dedicated to the great George Washington, denigrates and berates men. Hit that one more time, Sergeant Steve, please.
We are not here today because of famous arches or famous men. In fact, we're not here because of men at all.
So go after men. In fact, I suggest every male, whether you're a Democrat, Independent, Republican, Socialist, Communist, whatever, Elizabeth Warren doesn't like you, doesn't respect you, show the same respect. Don't vote for her, or lack of respect. Losing strategy. Hillary Clinton used that strategy, talking about deplorables abusing white male privilege. Nothing could be further than the truth. Male privilege or toxic masculinity, as these candidates, female candidates, like to assail men in general, did a great job in the Revolutionary War, did a great job in World War I, World War II, to save America from the Nazis and Adolf Hitler and from fascism. When we look at buildings, when we look at first responders, is that toxic masculinity when they're the first to jump into a dangerous situation? The answer is no. So here we have a privileged Harvard professor who made $300,000 or $400,000 a year at Harvard to teach, I think, one or two courses a semester, who blatantly lied using her own privilege to say she was of Native American descent. She was an American Indian, which was a load of poppycock. She used it on every job application from the time she was in the workforce and used it to get a $300,000 or $400,000 a year cushy gig as a Harvard law professor. So please, let's not talk about toxic masculinity. Let's talk about fraudulent, toxic femininity. That's exactly what Elizabeth Warren displayed when she used the guise of being an American Indian, because my pawpaw said that our cheekbones were high. Baloney. And going after the founding fathers, going after men who build buildings, the skyscrapers, men who were the first in flight, men who drilled for oil. Oh, I'm sorry. Oil now, fossil fuel is evil. Even though it's amazing, all these candidates don't walk or bike anywhere. They use airplanes, and they use motorcades, and they use limos. Isn't it amazing? Again, don't do as I say. Don't do as I say. Or do as I say, don't do as I do. So that's exactly what they want. Do as I say, not as I do. Elizabeth Warren going after men. Identity politics will not work, did not work in 2016, will not work in 2020, and she will tick off more men. But again, this seems to be the rationale. Let's bash men. Men are evil. Men are the root of all problems. We're not here because of men. Actually, Lizzie, you are here because of men. Because if a man didn't shtup your mama, that supposedly had the high cheekbones, or your papa, or whomever it was, you would not be here. Good luck with all females. Let's see how they'd be able to procreate without any male spermatozoa. Let's see how that works. Now, there's also an attack on meat. There's an attack on carnivores. There was a big climate change conference. Everywhere you look around, we have a climate change conference, climate change town hall. Again, we know that climate change is absolutely nothing more than a small group of bureaucrats and government officials and elitists who would like to redistribute the world's wealth using climate policy. An entire generation now of children and college students is brainwashed into thinking that the weather is going to kill them. That's really what it boils down to. So at this particular town hall or climate change conference that was moderated by Ali Velshi, another piece of work, another total cockamamie clown from BSNBC, he had Andrew Ying Yang on. And he was asked a question about beef and whether beef should be a part of our diets.
Hi, I'm Addison Dyer. I'm a sophomore at Georgetown studying healthcare management. And my question was, realistically, the only way to curb expansion and reduce the environmental impact of the cattle industry is to reduce demand. What policy adjustments would you make to reduce this demand?
I'm glad you asked that, because we wanted to talk about food and the rate at which agriculture, not everybody thinks about this, is a major contributor to CO2.
Now, cattle is very energy consuming and energy expensive. And if you project forward on what we would need to do to reduce emissions, you would want to modify Americans' diets over time. Now, some of that is happening naturally through education. I do think it's difficult to regulate diets. So what you would want to do, again, is you'd want those cattle producers to have to internalize the cost of emissions. Because if your cattle ends up polluting a lot, which they do just naturally, we don't hate them for it. I mean, they're just big animals. Don't hate the cattle. Hate them, whatever. So then what that would naturally do, and some people are going to hate this, but it would probably make those products more expensive. And that is appropriate, because there's a cost to producing food in that way. And so if you were to make it more expensive, then you would end up changing consumption patterns.
So what they say is, we want to modify diets. How do they want to do it? By taxation. Every time you look around, one of these Dem candidates, taxation. Let's tax the wealthy. Let's tax meat eaters. Let's tax if you breathe. Let's tax if you drink water. Let's tax if you fornicate. Let's tax if you smoke a cigar. Let's tax if you drink a libation. Let's tax if you use a grill. Let's just tax, 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 till we run out of money and there is no more money for taxation. And I love what he says. We need to modify diets. No, what he's saying is, we want to regulate diets. That's exactly what they want to do. They want to continue the indoctrination. The indoctrination that cattle, that meat, is responsible for an overwhelming majority or a huge percentage of climate change. Did you hear Ali Velshi? Oh, I'm glad we got to this, because agriculture, a huge, huge part of the problem. No, it's not. No, it is not. And the United States is not a big part of the CO2 emissions problem. Climate change contributes 14% of the world total. China and India, by far, number one. They are doing nothing to stop it. We could stop every CO2 emission today, and it wouldn't make a difference. And amazingly, we had all these hurricanes and storms and earthquakes going back hundreds of centuries ago. Some of the worst hurricanes occurred in the early 1900s. That was before there were fossil fuels used, before there were cars, before there were trains and planes. How do you explain that? Ah, simple. It's the sun heating the earth. It happens. It is a natural occurrence. It has been going on that way for millions, or correction, as Carl Sagan would say, or Bernie Sanders, billions and billions and billions of years. Billions of years. So, Andrew Yang, yes, we don't hate cattle, but we need to rein it in. And this is the question from this Georgetown or George Washington University sophomore. This shows that an entire generation of high school students, grade school students, college students, they're brainwashed. I heard one of them appearing before Congress earlier this week saying, our generation is scared. We're afraid. We're afraid to have families. We're afraid to work. We get out of bed and it's depressing. This is nothing more than indoctrination on college campuses. Pure and simple. Interesting email I received from Lieutenant Darren. And he said, General, listen to your show on September 14th. And you had a great discussion on the BS of eliminating fossil fuel that the left keeps preaching. I farm for a living, have close to 2,000 acres on my farm, which is small, middle class, to try to identify the size, if you will. Basically only 3 square miles. I personally burn around $40,000 of fuel every year to grow crops. How is everyone in the country going to eat if farmers can't have fuel, and how will it be delivered to processors and ultimately trucked to consumers? Just food for thought. I thought you may appreciate, because last time I looked, everyone eats. May affect your libations as well, since corn is a huge ingredient in whiskey. Love the show. Keep up the great work. Just a typical Midwest conservative farmer's opinion. Lieutenant Darren, I greatly appreciate that opinion. And you are right on the money. People have to eat. Do you think if all of a sudden we say, no more meat, just go to a vegan diet, that's going to put increased pressure on farmers to grow more crops? Growing more crops, more fertilizer, you're going to have more fuel. That's how it works. And what is interesting is that a study by researchers at the Johns Hopkins Center for Livable Future came out this week that scientists found diets in which meat, fish, or dairy consumed only once a day would leave less of a footprint on climate change and water supply than a vegetarian diet, including milk and eggs, in 95% of countries they analyzed. Again, total nonsense, total BS that is propagated by a small group of elitists that would like to control your behavior, redistribute wealth, using climate change as a rouge, as a guide. Everybody's being brainwashed. Yet, these elitists still fly in their own private planes. They still drive in limos and burn fossil fuel. Do as I say, not as I do.
The Cigar Dave Officers Club selection for September is the Plasencia Almadel Combo. This complex smoke is creamy with a touch of spice. The Plasencia Almadel Combo has notes of coffee and nuts while leaving a lasting impression on your palate. Want these cigars shipped directly to you each month? Log on to CigarDave.com to join the Officers Club.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR. Now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now. A lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name, knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Beta males run on tofu. Alpha males run on meat. Steak, cigars, and Cigar Day, the trifecta of pleasure.
The enemies of meat, the enemies of carnivores, are out in force. We talked about Andrew Yang at the BSNBC Climate Change Conference that took place Thursday and yesterday at Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. So basically, Andrew Yang says, yeah, we need to modify diets. We need to tax to change people's diets. We have seen every candidate come out and say, we've got to get away from meat when asked at any of the debates. They all spew the same line. Oh, we know that meat, that cattle produces massive amounts of CO2. We need to go to vegan diets. Yet, mark my words, they'll still eat their cheeseburgers, they'll still eat their juicy steaks, but the peons, the rest of us, they'd love to see us go to a vegan type of diet. Remember, the hypocrisy runs rampant with these elitists. Do as I say, not as I do. They'll eat the meat, but make you become a vegan. And Stephanie Ruhle on BS NBC, couple of days ago, has the audacity to spew this.
Republicans like to paint the most ambitious plans as those led by wingnuts, making it look like Democrats want to take away your straws, your ability to fly in an airplane and take your cheeseburgers away. We know none of those things are actually true.
Yes, they are, you dumbass. They are 100% true, you blatant liar. Dems have already stated, and they are nutcases. They've already stated, we got to get rid of straws, plastic bags, plastic straws. We're seeing it, a legislation being enacted in every state municipality now. Straws are evil. Plastic is evil. They do want to take away your cheeseburgers. I love when Kamala Harris, when asked about it, said, yeah, we really should look at that now. I got to be honest, I love eating my cheeseburger now and then. They always have a caveat. Bernie Sanders, look, I think we have to do it. I've got to be honest, I do like eating meat. They all preface, or they all subsequently slip that in, I do like meat. Why? So that when they enact all this harsh regulation that you've got to be a vegan or tax your meat at unconscionable rates, that it's okay for them to still eat. And the Dems do want to take away your ability to fly because they've all stated, we're going to eliminate fossil fuels in the next 10 years. By 2030, we have to have total clean renewable energy. Okay, how are you going to fly? What are you going to do? Put solar panels on an airplane? I'd love to see an Airbus A320 or 330 or a Boeing 777 or 787 with solar panels or with a windmill at the top of the on the top of the fuselage. Not going to happen. But again, they'll still travel. They'll still fly, but you won't. Perfect example here. KLM, we talked about this, plane shaming now. That's a new thing going on in Europe. We're going to start seeing it here in the United States, that people are plane shaming others for flying on airplanes because of the carbon footprint, because of the contribution to climate change. Well, KLM has just announced, starting March 29th of 2020, they're replacing one of their five flights from Amsterdam to Brussels with trains operated by the French-Belgian high rail speed company Thalys. Now, it's a 20-minute flight, but it's a two-hour journey by train. I'd rather take the plane. 20 minutes, bing, bang, boom. And people say, well, you got to get to the airport an hour before. It's much faster to take the train. Most of the time, it isn't. But mark my words, that's the beginning. They'll say, we're going to replace it with one, then it'll be two, then it'll be three. Then you'll start to see all this plane shaming by all these climate change nutcases and wackadoodles. And all the airlines in Europe will say, okay, anything less than a 30 or 40 or 50-minute flight we'll replace with trains. You're going to start seeing this. So do the Dems, do these climate change wackadoodles want to take away your plastic straws? Yep. They want to take away your right to eat meat and your cheeseburgers and your juicy steaks? Yep. They want to take away the ability to travel by plane? Yep. But by the same, in the same breath, they say, by 2030, we're going to go totally to clean energy. And all these candidates saying there will be no more fossil fuel combustion engine cars on the road in 10 or 15 years. Really? Okay, let's assume, and I've stated this before, let's assume that every combustion engine is replaced, every combustion engine car is replaced with an electric vehicle. How do you power an electric vehicle? You have to charge that electric vehicle. You have to plug it into the wall and get 110 volt or 220 volt or 240 volt power. Well, how is power? When you plug an appliance into the wall, whether it's your refrigerator, when you recharge your phone and you put in your charger, how is that power generated? The number one method today is via coal. The second is natural gas. Then we have nuclear, hydro, and then we have wind and solar. There is not enough land to put solar panels in this country to power an entire nation that would totally be based upon an electric vehicle operation, electric vehicle infrastructure. Not going to happen. So all these things you hear are nothing more than lies to placate these nutcases so they can earn their vote and be as liberal as left and as absolutely extreme as possible. It is not realistic. Natural gas is clean burning. We have a ton of it. That's more realistic than saying we're going to go all electric vehicles. But remember, all these politicians, they will still use combustion engine vehicles and limos to transport them around. They will still use fossil fuels to power the planes that they'll travel on. But you and I need to eliminate the use of fossil fuels. So let's listen to Stephanie Ruhle of BS NBC Lie one more time. Take a close
look. Republicans like to paint the most ambitious plans as those led by wingnuts, making it look like Democrats want to take away your straws, your ability to fly in an airplane, and take your cheeseburgers away. We know none of those things are actually true.
I rest my case. They are most certainly true, Stephanie. A complete, absolute wackadoodle dumbass. When I tell you Stephanie Ruhle could be amongst the most stupid, she's probably right up there next to Don Lululemon of the Cartoon News Network, of the Clown News Network. Two of them are peas in a pod. Dumb and dumber. Actually, dumbest and dumbest is really what it is. So, yes, the wackadoodle Dems are going after your plastic straws, your cheeseburgers, your steak, and the fossil fuel that powers your planes and your cars. And speaking of another ignoramus, another incredibly stupid person, member of Congress, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC. By the way, I see that she's got a Democrat challenger and a pretty good Republican challenger as well. This is going to be good. I'm going to get the popcorn because I think they're going to cream her. I don't think people like her in her district. And from what I've read, she is very late to set up an office in her district, rarely makes people can go and see her or go see somebody in the office with their issues. Their number they have goes to a voicemail that doesn't get checked. Major, major problems for AOC. If she loses, geez, she's going to go from making about $160,000 a year back to slinging drinks again. What's she going to do? Again, she has a degree from, I think it's Boston University. Or BC, I can't remember. I think it's BU. Should be more like BS, because she knows nothing. Amongst the most ignorant people on the planet. At a public appearance on Wednesday. Again, existential crisis. Existential threat. Major climate change crisis. We have to do something. Here's her latest prediction of what's going to happen in the other cigar city, not Tampa, but Miami.
When it comes to climate change, what is not realistic is not responding to the crisis not responding with a solution on the scale of the crisis. Because what's not realistic is Miami not existing in a few years. That's not realistic. So we need to be realistic about the problem.
Yeah, let's be realistic, you schmuck. Let's be realistic. Miami's going to be here in 10 years and 20 years and 30 years. And do you know why I know it's going to be here? Why I know all the climate change is a massive hoax? Why it's nothing more than a de facto redistribution of the world's wealth? Why I know that grade school, high school, and college students are being brainwashed? Let's check the OCCD. That is the Obama Climate Change Doctrine. Barack Obama, 44th president of the United States, so concerned about rising tides and rising sea levels that he is about to close on a $15 million estate on the water, on the shores of the Atlantic Ocean, in Martha's Vineyard. Or as they say in Massachusetts, Martha's Vineyard. We're going to the vineyard. So let's look at the OCCD, the Obama Climate Change Doctrine. If he is so concerned about these rapidly rising sea levels, that literally cities will be wiped off, that Miami Beach, because of the rising sea level, will be underwater in 10 years, He's so concerned that he's about to plop down $15 million large to buy an estate smack dab on the Atlantic Ocean. That's why I know this climate change nonsense is just that. Absolute, blatant, poppycock nonsense. Fabricated BS. End of discussion. If it's okay for Obama to live on the water, by gosh, it's okay for you and I to live on the water, because if he's so worried about it, he wouldn't be plopping down $15 million bucks. Amazing. Leaves office, gets a big Netflix deal, gets giant speaking fees, big book deals, and yet we as American taxpayers still pay for his Secret Service detail. We pay for an office. They get office stipends to pay assistants, mailing, all sorts of other nonsense. They come out leaving as multi-millionaires, and yet we Americans still picking up the tab. Unacceptable. So if Obama's going to buy a place on the water, feel free to buy one too. AOC's full of baloney. Miami's going to be there in 10 years.
Did you know that the city of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Come on in to Black Bear Diner, where the portions are bear-sized and the service makes you feel at home. With breakfast served all day, anytime's right to dig into our one-of-a-kind sweet cream pancakes, Bear Benedicts, or generous sides of thick-cut bacon and tantalizing sausage patties, house-made from our signature recipe. Whenever you do breakfast, do it at Black Bear Diner, because around here, every plate comes with heaping helpings of happiness.
Black Bear feels like home.
Hello, I'm Carlene Niver, and I would like to personally thank you for your support while we celebrate over 4 years of business at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar. I'm so proud and excited to see our growth with loyal and new guests alike. Those of you who know me know that I love great food, but more importantly, I love to enjoy myself wherever I go. And that's what my dining team and I strive for when you walk into Carlene's. As the weather transitions, don't forget to book our banquet room for any of your upcoming holiday needs. We also offer outside catering for any occasion. Open 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Happy hour from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., located in downtown Reading on Center Street. A pinch of patience, a dash of kindness, and a spoonful of laughter make for the best dining experience. I look forward to celebrating over 4 years of business with you at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
We celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month. Jackie Zykin, the master taster of Old Forster bourbons.
The General is now on Instagram. Follow him for pictures of the latest cigars, libations, and what he's enjoying during the show.
That could be interesting, and we'll have to block out some faces.
Go to Instagram and search Cigar Day.
America is under attack. Basic freedoms, privileges, and acts that we would normally take for granted are disappearing each day, including the simple ability to enjoy a cigar. This is Glenn Loop, Executive Director of Cigar Rights of America, CRA. At a time when elected officials should be thinking about education, public safety, and creating jobs, they are actually thinking about smoking bans, new taxes, and regulations of historic proportions on premium cigars. The cigars that provide us with pleasure, relaxation, and fellowship are under attack. We have to stop it. That's why Cigar Rights of America was created, to work for a new political day for cigar enthusiasts across America, to roll back restrictive laws and defeat onerous taxes and regulations that impact everyone from your local cigar shop to your personal humidor. For the price of a few great cigars, be a part of this effort to protect your right to enjoy a cigar without excessive taxation and cumbersome legislation. Go to cigarrights.org. Let's tell the government we've had enough. Join now, cigarrights.org.
The selections in the Cigar Dave Officers Club receive rave reviews from our members, and for good reason. We send out fantastic cigars, the latest and greatest to our members, new cigars, unique cigars, incredible vertical samplers of cigars, and we have a great selection for September 2019. We are featuring the Plasencia Alma del Campo. It is a beautiful Nicaraguan puro, Nicaraguan wrapper, filler, and binder. The wrapper is a beautiful milk chocolatey brown wrapper with some nice notes of cocoa, cedar, some beautiful notes of coffee. Your taste buds will absolutely love the Plasencia Alma del Campo. Become a member of the Cigar Dave Officers Club and get great cigars every month. Three great cigars like the Plasencia Alma del Campo sent directly to you. Go to CigarDave.com, click on Officers Club, and join my Officers Club and enjoy great cigars.
Hold it right there. Cigar Dave is back in 2 minutes. The General resumes hosting maneuvers in 1 minute. Quiet, please. Cigar Dave returns in 5, 4, 3, 2. With an unlimited and secure supply of pleasure sticks available for the General to enjoy, it's time for National Cigar Lightation Maneuvers.
Next hour, as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month, we'll be joined by Jackie Zykin, the master taster of Old Forester bourbons up in Kentucky, and one of the four bourbons that I will be sampling from my personal private collection that I share very, very limited, only special occasions. When President Donald Trump won the election in 2016, the next morning at 8 a.m., with a good friend, I opened the bottle of Old Forester birthday bourbon from 2007, poured just a little bit, maybe a half a shot, in a whiskey snifter. We toasted the new president-elect, toasted the election, toasted that America would be made great, and so that is a very special bourbon. And so today for our interview with Jackie Zykin, I'm going to have a sample. I'm going to end our interview with that tasting. So I need a cigar that can stand up to it, a lot of flavor to it, a lot of citrus, some sweetness, some clove, some warmth, but I need a special cigar, a cigar that's as special as the Old Forester birthday bourbon that I will consume in the next hour. And I can think of nothing better than the Padron Family Reserve number 50. This was launched in 2014. I was at the Padron 50th anniversary party. It was September of 2014, one of the great nights I will always remember. Jose O. Padron, George Padron, Orlando Padron, the whole Padron family. Celebrated in Miami. I mean, there must have been 1,500 people there, maybe more. But cigars were flowing, libations, great time, great camaraderie, great friendships. And I love the Padron Family Reserve No. 50 Maduro. It's 5 inches in length with a 54 ring gauge. It is square pressed. Nicaraguan wrapper filler binder. An incredible, exquisite taste profile. Medium, medium full, incredibly smooth, exceptional. It's definitely a special occasion cigar. It's not an everyday cigar. At $27, definitely not an everyday cigar. But when you do decide that you want to celebrate a special occasion, or there is some sort of, some whatever, whether it is a graduation, whether it is a baby, whether it is a promotion, whatever the case may be, you will love the Padron Family Reserve No. 50. Also comes in a natural wrapper. I love the Maduro. I love the complexion, a little bit of sweetness, a little bit of the espresso notes. Can't go wrong. So I will enjoy the Padron Family Reserve No. 50. I smoke these rarely because they are hard to come by. But when I do, I savor it to the last puff.
Cigar-altering and highly sharpened leaf-exposing device.
Self-sharpening double-edged stainless steel guillotine ready to go.
Maximum BTU flame-throwing and heat-producing apparatus.
You can hear the giant jet flames from my Cigar Dave Malaliter Make America Lightate Again. Got it right in front of me. That's what I would use today.
Cigar pre-lightation checklist complete. No faults detected. Area clear of all enemies of pleasure. Approval to go throttle up in 3, 2, 1.
Perfect cut. I will toast the foot of this magnificent Padron Family Reserve No. 50 Robusto in the Maduro wrapper. They come in boxes of 10, about $270 a box, $280, something like that. But worth every penny. Buy a box, stick it away, use it for save it for special occasions. Let me puff and rotate. Oh yeah. Absolutely magnificent. Great draw. Love the feel of the square press in my hand. As I blow on the foot, perfectly even amber glow. Magnificent. And it is going to pair exceptionally well with my Old Forster 2007 birthday bourbon. So we will spend the entire hour with Jackie Zeichen, master taster of Old Forster. She's got a very unique story, very interesting story about her background, initially pre-med major, and found her way at going from St. Louis to Louisville and becoming a master taster, a brand ambassador, very, very involved in tasting, very involved in some of the blending as well. So we'll be joined by Jackie Zeichen, master taster, Old Forster, in the next hour. And I can't wait to sample all these four Old Forster bourbons that I have. Tell you what I want to do. Next week, there's some info I want to get to, because we're going to spend the entire next hour with Jackie. But we'll talk about Royal Agio. It was acquired by Scandinavian Tobacco Group, the parent company of General Cigar and Cigars International, Thompson Cigar, another big acquisition. They make the Balmoral cigar. We featured the Balmoral Añejo Exo Connecticut several months ago. Beautiful cigars. So we will talk about that. Davidoff's got some new cigars coming out as well. So we got a lot of items that we will get to next week. Actually, the week after, because next week will be our complete National Bourbon Heritage Month mega tasting with Sommelier Dave and Tommy Diadio from the Corona Cigar Lounge and Davidoff. Next hour, we'll be talking with Jackie Zeichen, master taster of Old Forster.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated.
not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Iowa Biden says Mr. Trump needs to provide details of that phone call.
I'm calling the president to release the transcript of the call. Let everybody hear what it is. Let the House see it and see what he did.
Meanwhile, in a tweet today, the president referred to a perfectly fine and routine conversation with Ukraine's leader, adding nothing was said that was in any way wrong. President Trump says he's in no rush to have a military confrontation with Iran.
I think I'm showing great restraint. A lot of people respect it. Some people don't. Some people say, oh, you should go in immediately. And other people are so thrilled at what I'm doing. And I don't do it for anybody. I do it for what's good for the United States, what's good for our allies.
But Defense Secretary Mark Esper says the attack on Saudi oil facilities earlier this month demonstrates Iranian aggression.
This week, I've been in dialogue with the Saudi defense minister and other partners about this latest attack. To prevent further escalation, Saudi Arabia requested international support to help protect the kingdom's critical infrastructure. The United Arab Emirates has also requested assistance.
The chief of Iran's powerful Revolutionary Guard says his forces are ready for combat and, quote, any scenario. For the first time since 1962, a Kennedy seeking a Senate seat in Massachusetts.
I'm here to announce that I am going to be a candidate for the United States Senate.
Joseph Kennedy III making his declaration to take on incumbent Senator Edward Markey in the primary for a seat once held by Kennedy's great uncle, Ted Kennedy, who was elected back in 1962. Check out more news, read more analysis, both at townhall.com.
Guys, waking up over and over to urinate is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to urinate at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free.
Call 1-800-424-7126.
Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now.
Call 1-800-424-7126.
Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer.
1-800-424-7126. 1-800-424-7126.
The Senate's number two ranking Republican is accusing Democrats of filibustering Trump judicial nominees at a record pace. Senator John Thune says that includes nominees who later won enough bipartisan support to be confirmed.
One was confirmed by unanimous vote of 94-0. Now, Madam President, if Democrats had a serious reason for their obstruction of the president's judicial nominees, they would not be repeatedly turning around and voting for them.
Despite the delays, Thune said just last week the Senate confirmed the 150th nominee. A federal judge in Maryland has refused to dismiss gun charges against a Coast Guard lieutenant accused of stockpiling weapons and drafting a hit list of prominent Democrats and TV journalists. That paves the way for 50-year-old Christopher Hassan to be tried in October on all four counts of the indictment. News and analysis at townhall.com. The money-losing Three Mile Island, the 1979 site of the United States' worst commercial nuclear power accident, was shut down Friday by its energy giant owner.
The end of the 45-year electricity-producing career of Three Mile Island Unit 1 came after Chicago-based Exelon tried and failed to get financial aid from Pennsylvania in the spring. Three Mile Islands Unit 1 opened in 1974 and was licensed to operate through 2034, but Exelon complained the plant was losing money in competitive electricity markets. Three Mile Island also faced particularly difficult economics because the 1979 accident that destroyed Unit 2 left it with just one reactor. Patrick Frost reporting.
Robert Boyd, journalist and former Washington bureau chief of Knight Ridder, who shared a 1973 Pulitzer Prize for coverage of Democratic vice presidential candidate Thomas Eagleton's exit from the campaign due to mental issues, has died. He was 91. More at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. Also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m. North State Now.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51. Jefferson, state of mind.
Cigars, spirits, and diversions. The cigar and pleasure friendly hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
I am salivating, as in front of me I am looking at four magnificent, tasty, delicious Kentucky bourbons. And there's a very good reason why I have four different bottles of Old Forster. I've got the Old Forster 1870 90 proof, the Old Forster 1897 100 proof, a bottle of Old Forster single barrel given to me by Corona Cigar in the Davidoff Store and Lounge here in the Cigar City of Tampa, 90 proof. And a bottle of Old Forster birthday bourbon from 2007, 12 years old, initially distilled in the spring of 1994. I am salivating, and there's a good reason why I've got four bottles of magnificent Old Forster. Our guest this hour, as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month, Jackie Zykan, the master taster of Old Forster. And we welcome you back to the Cigar Dave Show, our number two, National Bourbon Heritage Month all month. And we are excited to have a very special guest to talk bourbon, a very unique guest. She's the master taster of Old Forster, Jackie Zykan, joining us up from Kentucky. Jackie, great to have you here. And I hope I'm not making you salivate at all the great Old Forster bottles I have in front of me right now.
You kind of are, but that's okay. It's pretty standard for just, you know, any day of the week. So it's fine. It's okay, though. I am kind of jealous. I will say I'm jealous that 2007 you've got going on over there.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll make you a deal. You give me a personalized tour of the Old Forster distillery and maybe share some special bourbons that are being aged, and I'll bring up this bottle, and we can enjoy a cocktail and a little cheers to celebrate.
Oh, well, you don't have to do that. I've got more than enough product to share with you, but you are always welcome to come up to the distillery, and I'm happy to take you on a tour. Absolutely.
Oh, wait a minute. Do you still have some birthday bourbon 2007 left?
I've got quite a few of them. I've tasted every year. We've done quite a few events across the country since I've been on the brand where we actually do every single vintage in a row. So I have my favorites. I have my certain years that I prefer more than others, but it's super special. Obviously, you're never going to find that bottle again unless you know, get on the interwebs, that's fine. But you're not going to find on a shelf. So these birthday bourbons are so unique, and they're so, so incredibly special that I want you to keep it, share it with people, I suppose, if you like them or not.
Absolutely. Well, I only use this for special occasions now. So, and only usually about a half a shot just on special occasions because it's that good. But Jackie, let's talk about your background. Really, as a master taster, you have to speak bourbon fluently. That's a great language for those of us that enjoy bourbon and Kentucky whiskey. But talk about your background and how you got with Old Forester way back.
Yeah, so obviously I did not grow up dreaming and doodling, one day I'm going to taste bourbon. I mean, had I known that that was going to be even an option, maybe, like, I would have. But I did not grow up with that mentality. I'm originally from St. Louis, Missouri. And, I mean, the bourbon boom is a somewhat recent thing, you know. So back when I first left St. Louis to come to Louisville, we had, like, Maker's, Beam, Turkey, and that was it. And people just called everything whiskey. You didn't say bourbon. You just call it Dewar's whiskey. You call it Jack whiskey. You know what I mean? Like predating like the really big, big boom. So I originally was on the path to go to medical school. And so I'm sitting on this chemistry degree and a biology degree. And things changed. We won't get into too much. But I made some, right. I don't know, some choices that I probably shouldn't have. Specifically getting married to someone I shouldn't have.
A tale we have heard often.
I thought I was going to go down this like weird vice path there, but no, it was just that. So we moved to Louisville for his job, which, you know, everything happens for a reason, right? So I end up here, really got no reason to be here other than to just like be here with him. So I started bartending again. I bartended my way through college, just to like sort of start to know people and have something to keep myself occupied with. And behind me on these back bars are hundreds of brown bottles, and I don't know what any of this stuff is. And this is 10 years ago, and I will be the first to admit I knew very, 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 very little about whiskey when I first moved to Louisville, and it just sparked something, and I fell in love and couldn't stop. So we separated, but I stayed in Louisville because I landed a job with a really great restaurant group here called Falls City Hospitality. And they had a bunch of different concepts. And every time they would open up a new bar or restaurant, I would go and open it for them. I would design their bar layout. I would do their cocktail menu. I would do all their staff trainings, all their buying, all of that stuff. So you're putting in about 92 hours a week, give or take, in a position like that. And brands come in. And one of the concepts was a whiskey bar. It's actually in downtown Louisville. One of the first whiskey bars to be down there. And brands would come in because a lot of them are based here and they'd be like, oh, hey, you know, we've got these guests coming in. Can you kind of like make a specialty cocktail for us for our dinner? Cool. Yeah, I got you. Oh, hey, also that drink was good, but we have this event coming up. Can you go to that event and make that drink? Sure. Got you. Yeah. We have to do a news segment about that event. Can you go and do that? Yep. Totally. Totally fine. I said yes to absolutely every opportunity that came my way. I did work for Heaven Hill, for Woodford, for Jack, for Four Roses. I was on part of that opening marketing team for Copper and Kings Brandy. I was the St. Germain brand ambassador. Basically, I don't sit still. So yeah, one day I got a phone call. Hey, your name came up in a meeting at Brown-Forman. Apparently they kind of need somebody for Old Forester that can both understand the science side, check, and understand the on-premise, the bar side, the cocktail side, check, check, check. So I met Campbell Brown for a drink. We had an old fashioned. He went outside on a phone call. Came back in and was like, would you like to work with Old Forester? And I said, absolutely. There's no other brand I would have jumped ship completely from that side of the industry for because I love it so much. But this is the only brand where I wouldn't have to go in and talk to people about it and ever have to make up some bull story. So,
and how long ago was that, Jackie, when you joined Old Forester?
Do what? That was 4 years ago.
4 years ago. Outstanding. Well, mm-hmm. You talked about wanting to go to medical school and have a chemistry and biology background. When you think about it, as we know, bourbon is used for medicinal purposes. So it does.
Our legal team would frown upon me saying that to you in modern times, but yes, the origination of this fine product was for medicinal purposes.
That is correct. So you've been with them 4 years, and tell us, as a master taster, what your job with Old Forester entails.
It's a lot of different stuff. Sometimes I'm doing interviews like this. Right after this interview, I actually have to head to Bourbon and Beyond to MC a stage. outside of that, half the time I'm on the road, half the time I am split between our corporate campus and our two distilleries in Louisville, Kentucky. Sensory analysis, descriptive analysis, things like that, quality control. When you come up with a new product, what's it going to be? What's the price going to be? What's the proof going to be? What's it going to taste like? Who's going to write the tasting notes? What's the signature cocktail that's going to go with it? What glassware are we going to use? All of that falls under me. So kind of like just responsible for ensuring that Old Forester stays quality, consistent, and that we're really, you know, we're staying true to who we are as a brand. It's really, really important. It's easy to get lost in trends, especially with a category growing as quickly as bourbon is. It's really important to have sort of this, like, true north of what your brand is and have people that are unapologetically sticking to it.
Jackie
and I'm a very
Zican,
unapologetic
master.
Person.
Exactly. Jackie Zican, master taster, Old Forester, joins us. Jackie, you are unique in that there's really not a plethora of women that are tasters and that are really in the bourbon whiskey business.
There are a lot of women in the bourbon whiskey business. You just don't ever see them.
We never see them, absolutely. Exactly. I mean, but it's towards the front of the house, if you will. How's that?
Towards the front of the house. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's a minority still. It's still in a lot of markets viewed as a very masculine product. So it is what it is. But I don't know. I guess I am very, very fortunate for the fact that I work for a company that on a daily basis doesn't make me feel like I'm a woman in the whiskey industry. I'm just in the whiskey industry, right? So it's a little bit different. I have this conversation with people constantly about, like, what's it like? What's it like to be a woman in whiskey? I don't know. What's it like to be you? I don't know. I don't feel it. But let me say this, though. That doesn't mean that I'm not appreciative of the efforts of those that had to deal with probably a whole lot of before me. I've got it really, really, really good. I have a dream job with a dream company and a dream brand, and I don't, on a normal day-to-day basis, really feel any differently about what gender I am walking into this category. But yes, back to your original statement after that tangent I just went on. Yeah, there's not a lot that you see, but I mean, I don't know. It is what it is, I guess.
Well, you know, I think you bring up a very good point, and I've always said this. People make a big deal. I'm the first this or the first that, whatever. I think most people, if you do your job well, nobody cares. Nobody cares
you're
a woman. Nobody cares
Thank
if you're a minority. You know, people, ultimately, and I always believe this, the job should be based on one thing and one thing only, merit. If you earn it, nobody cares what color your skin, what religion, what your gender. Nobody cares. I think sometimes today we make too big of a deal about those things. It is certainly unique in that you are in what, you're right, was a traditionally male-dominated industry. But, as you say, I think not only are there more women in the industry, there are more bourbon, female bourbon drinkers today, and just bourbon drinkers in general, no matter, like we said, what's your gender, what's your religion, what's your age. Bourbon and brown spirits have had a very, very rapid explosion over the last 15 years or so.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, and that's great. It really is a category that's opening up, and those, I hate to call them outdated mindsets, but kind of the purist mentality is starting to fade away, and it's starting to become a more approachable category where it's, that was one of the things that kept a lot of people from trying bourbon in the first place, is the pressure of, am I doing it right? Am I doing it wrong?
Right.
If you add something to it, then you've destroyed it. But it takes people that, you know, are a little bit more welcoming. Like at Old Forester, for example, we're very much like, however you drink it is the way you drink it. Or don't drink it. We don't care. That's cool, too. But in our opinion, you're not ruining anything by making an old-fashioned out of it. You've just made your old-fashioned that much better with a better quality base spirit. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a different mentality. I will say there was a big shift that it's not that women haven't always had a place in production or in a lot of the different aspects that touch these brands. But they didn't have a super strong voice in the marketing departments, and they're starting to more and more. And that is why you're starting to see more appeal to things, because otherwise you go way back, 50, 60s, and you've got a lot of brands being marketed from the viewpoint of specific individuals, assuming what other individuals want. But it's more authentic and it's more genuine now, and I think that's really creating a more organic growth for the category.
Absolutely. And we've got a picture that we have posted at CigarDave.com and our social media feeds of you sitting on a bar looking very comfortable right at home in the old Forester. Looks as though one of the tasting rooms. And you've got a glass.
The Atherton room.
There you go. And I've got to tell you, a lot of people would be envious sitting there with all that great bourbon behind you, and it looks as though you have mixed some sort of libation with either lemons or citrus. And I think one of the things, I enjoy bourbon neat. Sometimes I'll get a pre-prohibition ice block or ice cube that I like to put in my snifter or my whiskey glass. But I think what's very cool today is presentation. There's so many new cocktails, different libations that people can enjoy with bourbon. And as you said, there's no right, there's no wrong. It's like cigars. It's what you enjoy. It's personal preference.
Completely. 100% right about that.
And there's no reason to be snobby. We see so many people saying, oh, I'm a purist. You can't do this. You can't do that. Look, to me, I like my bourbon the way it comes out of the barrel, not with any sort of cinnamon or any citrus or anything like that. But there are people that do, and it's good for the brand and good for the business in general because that means they're making more aged great whiskey. So it is good for everybody. Jackie Zykan, Master Taster of Old Forester, our guest here as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month. Jackie, let's talk about Old Forester. It's a historic brand. It is the first bourbon whiskey to be bottled in the United States.
It is the first brand to be sold exclusively in a sealed glass bottle. That is accurate. There's a really fine reason for this, too. So back in the late 1800s, looking at a landscape of quote-unquote whiskey that really wasn't following any legal parameters. If it was brown and had a bite, you'd call it whiskey and move on with yourself. And if you got some, you got a prescription or wandered in, you actually take your own vessel, your own jug or what have you, and get it filled up from a barrel. That's cool and all, but there's a problem with that is that every single barrel, whether you've done anything to it or not, is going to be different and unique. So consistency is an issue. And also you can't see inside that barrel, and you can refill barrels pretty easily with whatever you want. Like I said, as long as it was brown and had a bite. So you're refilling it with tobacco spit and iodine and all kinds of crazy stuff and calling it whiskey. And so you've got doctors across the country prescribing this quote unquote medicine, and patients are getting sicker and they're complaining. And you know, it's very much the wild, wild west of the whiskey world in the United States. So a guy by the name of George Garvin Brown is a pharmaceutical salesman, not a distiller, very transparent about that. And he sees this opportunity to actually improve the market because of all of these issues that I just talked about. So how are you going to solve the two main problems, quality and consistency? Well, for consistency's sake, you're going to have to blend. So he actually produced the first blended bourbon whiskey. Not blended as in blended whiskey we think of today, where you're adding grain neutral spirit or anything of that sort. Blended as in blend of different distilleries. So we blended from three different distilleries, Melwood, Mattingly, and Atherton. There's that Atherton. That room is named after that
right.
distillery, actually. So you're going to blend it. Then, obviously, with a blend, you can't sell it in a barrel. And you got an issue with that anyway. So if you seal it in glass, and this is predating glass molds, so this is a very expensive adventure. If you seal it and put a strip over the top, sign it, guarantee the quality, you've made some really big steps. And so that's actually what Old Forester was founded on, was all of that right there, of just making a quality and consistent product in a world of really, really nasty swill on the market.
Interesting. Now, when you look at Old Forester also, very interesting because, to me, it's a classic brand. It's one of those brands that sometimes people forget about, but about 3 years ago, Old Forester went through a rebranding, repackaging, where the bottles now really stand out on the shelves. And I believe Old Forester has benefited market share and certainly sales-wise from that with that whole program.
Absolutely. So the whiskey industry is tricky, right? You don't know where it's going to go. It could happen quickly. It could turn left. It could turn right. But you've already laid down product that you can't necessarily harvest out right away. So you make your best choices that you can. But we did, as a brand, you have to be able to step outside of yourself and look at the landscape you've set and go, okay, what could we do better? Like sometimes it's really hard to see the forest from the trees once you are in it. And so with the packaging, you'll notice that old package that we did discontinue about 3 years ago. And you can still find bottles floating around different markets here and there. But there wasn't a paper label to it. So it was printed on the glass. It was on a clear label. Anytime that liquid level drops below the brand name, you can't read the bottle.
Right.
There would be times when I would go into bars and be like, do they have Old Forester? I don't know. Oh, wait, 10 minutes later, oh, I found it. It's that bottle back there, which is great. You want people to drink it, but then there's this weird halting point once they got three quarters through that bottle where you couldn't read the brand name. So, yeah, we had to make some changes there, and we changed the bottle up a little bit and just did a little refresh. The brand is growing, double-digit growth, and it's not stopping anytime soon, and it was worth the investment to just kind of bring Old Forester into a modern phase.
Now let's talk about the mash bill of Old Forester. It tends to be a little bit higher on rye. So you've got 72% corn, 18% rye, 10% malted barley. So talk about that and how that impacts the taste, the flavor of the bourbon.
Sure. So you're right. It's a little bit higher than a traditional mash bill. In my mind, I always think of traditional mash bill being like your Heaven Hill mash bills. Where you are really corn dominant, but rye is just kind of like a nice little seasoning. With the amount of rye that we have, I don't necessarily put us into a high rye category. I save that space for things like Four Roses, Old Granddad, et cetera, et cetera. But the amount we have actually does a very, very, very good job of creating this nice spice backbone to the whiskey. So Old Forester is this characteristic flavor profile, sweet on the front, spicy on the finish, and actually a little bit dry. We achieve a little bit of a different end result because of our warehousing situation that a lot of people don't realize. So that mash bill is pretty solid. It gives us a little extra oomph in the spice category, but 72% corn is still nothing to, you know, to wave off. I mean, it's still going to give you a pretty, like, rich, robust, full body, a lot of texture and a lot of sweetness, but it balances out pretty well.
Well, and when, you know, it's interesting because I think most people, when they gravitate towards a bourbon, there's a certain characteristic they like. They may like a little bit of the spiciness, a little bit of the warmth. They may mm-hmm. like a little bit of the sweetness as it goes down, a little bit of the woodiness. And what my impression of Old Forester, it's got a little bit of sizzle, a little bit of spice, and you definitely get the notes from the barrel.
Oh, absolutely. So, and a lot of that, again, is due to our warehousing. So we do what is called heat-cycled warehousing. This is not climate-controlled warehousing. That actually takes place at OFD, but that juice isn't mature yet. So we'll talk about that in, like, 3 years at our next interview. But
Now what is OFD?
Old Forester Distillery down on Main Street. Sorry.
Got it. Okay.
In Jackie Land, there's OFD and BFD. So Old Forester Distillery is on Main Street on Whiskey Row. That's the new one. And BFD is down in Shively, which is a couple miles south of downtown Louisville. That is where all the mature Old Forester in a bottle today has actually been produced.
Okay.
So down at BFD, in those warehouses, they're heat cycled. So from about October, depending on how warm October is, through to about April, we go through cycles. We've got temperature probes on all the odd-numbered floors in the warehouse, floors 1, 3, 5, 7 of an 8-floor warehouse. There's a concrete slab every 2 floors, too. You've actually created these 4 nice little cells in your warehouse. They're made of brick and concrete. They're not open air. We don't get that top floor whiskey gets super, super hot effect. For us, we actually get more the outside barrels by the windows do more variance than the ones tucked away in the shadows in the center aisles. So from October to April, we turn the heat on, raise the temperature X amount, turn the heat off, let it drop. And we go through that up and down cycle all through the winter. It's basically the equivalent if I gave you a cup of hot water and just threw a tea bag in it and didn't touch it. Eventually, you're going to have tea, but if you sat there and dunked it, you're going to get there a little bit quicker. So we're speeding up that extraction that is going to yield a little bit more dryness, a little bit more tannin, and definitely a lot more oak influence for the age of the whiskey.
We're celebrating National Bourbon Heritage Month with Jackie Zykan, master taster of Old Forester. When we return, we'll start the taste test.
The Cigar Dave Officers Club selection for September is the Plasencia Almadel Combo. This complex smoke is creamy with a touch of spice. The Plasencia Almadel Combo has notes of coffee and nuts while leaving a lasting impression on your palate. Want these cigars shipped directly to you each month? Log on to CigarDave.com to join the Officers Club.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and low birth.
Have you been looking to purchase or refinance a home? Allow the team at Omega Mortgage Group to show you why so many of your friends and family, realtors and escrow officers, refer their clients to Omega Mortgage Group. Our low rates, simple application, fast escrows, and outstanding service really speak for themselves. Contact Omega Mortgage Group today at 223-1400 or visit us at omglending.com. Omega Mortgage Group is an equal housing lender. NMLS ID number 1253874.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Redding's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
How long I've been on? When you're drinking, the show looks good to you.
The great Dean Martin, and I'll tell you, he would be jealous of the four bottles of Old Forster I have in front of me, and we're rejoined by Jackie Zykan, the master taster of Old Forster, as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month, and thrilled to have Jackie on. Now, Jackie, let's talk about the lineup of Old Forester. And as I mentioned, I've got a bottle of Old Forester 1870, 90 proof, the Old Forester 1897, 100 proof, a bottle of the Old Forester single barrel, which is 90 proof, and we'll get into the specifics on that, and a bottle of the Old Forester Birthday Bourbon 2007. So let's start off with the Old Forester 1870 90 proof. Would that be correct if I said that's kind of your bread and butter of the Old Forester line? Is that your flagship?
I think it definitely represents a historical flagship for the brand, but as far as being a workhorse, our everyday 86 proof and 100 proof really kind of serve that purpose better. The 1870 was the beginning of this Whiskey Row series coming out. The whole point of that series being we can showcase a more premium side of Old Forester and at the same time help tell our story leading up to the opening of the new distillery on Whiskey Row. So the 1870 in my mind, the way it works, I always think of as being sort of the Goldilocks expression. It's perfect. It's not too strong for those who are getting into bourbon and are fresh to the category. It's not disappointing for those that are well-seasoned bourbon drinkers. It's just flagship Olfo flavor profile. Definitely.
Well, I'm getting some wonderful notes of citrus, some fruit, almost a little clove as well. I will say cheers, and I will take my first sip here. Definitely some pepper sizzle on the back of the throat. Some warmth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely getting a little bit of cinnamon, some sweetness with a little spice. It's very nice. Now, for some people that like a milder bourbon, this may be a little too much. But one of the things I recommend, put a little branch or water in it, and you can basically adjust it to suit your own palate.
Absolutely. With any and all of them, yes. But I will say that this Old Forester, outside of the 86 proof, this is the lightest-bodied Old Forester that we have. Because of that heat-cycled warehousing, you're adding on an extra 6 months of maturation per year of age statement, so you do end up with a pretty robust flavor profile.
So the Old Forester 86, that is what you would consider your flagship of the Old Forester line?
That is the workhorse, for sure.
The
That's
workhorse.
Our highest volume mover, for sure. That's not where the brand started. The 86 proof expression was actually introduced in the 50s after the introduction of blended whiskeys really exploded in a post-war era. So you have a lot of distilleries that were laying down barrels that then converted over distillation efforts for industrial-grade alcohol instead. And so, of course, how are you going to spread your inventory? You're going to add grain-neutral spirit once you can fire your stills up again. And voila, hence is born something that kind of changed the idea of what whiskey was. Highball culture starts booming, a little bit more cocktail culture starts booming, and it no longer is this diesel fuel cowboy juice. So we didn't release a blended whiskey with grain-neutral spirit in it, but we did release the youngest Old Forester expression that we could, which is 4 years old, and that is the 86 proof. It's meant to be light and bright and crisp. This 1870, though, that you got going on is a little bit of a different story. There's a little bit more body to that one, for sure.
No doubt about it. But that Old Forester 86, I see won the 2019 San Francisco Spirits Competition gold medal. Pretty good.
It's a pretty solid whiskey. I mean, we try. We try.
Absolutely. All right. So next from the 1870, what would you say is your next, or after the 86, what's your next biggest mover, your biggest seller?
The 100 proof everyday does really, really well, but, you know, I'm not going to lie. Like, the Whiskey Row series is really starting to gain some traction. At first, I think it was a confusing concept for people because it was like we've had Old Forester and it's always been known as this, like, really great bang for your buck brand. And then all of a sudden you got this expensive Olfo and no one really understood it. So we put out the 1897 next and they were kind of like, wait, now you have two expensive ones and they taste completely different. I don't get it. But that 1920 came out. Changed the entire scene for us. Then it was a flight. Then it was a set. Then it was a billboard on a back bar, right? So everything changed. 1920 still kills it. Kills it.
Okay, so before we talk about 1920, let's go to 1897 since I have a bottle in my hand. And by the way, I'm going to call my good pal Dan O'Connor over at Breakthrough Beverage and make sure that I get a bottle of that 1920 very rapidly. So this is a brand new bottle that Dan graciously gave me about a year ago, and I'm going to open it up, all right? And I'm going to pour a little bit here in my Glencairn snifter. So this is the Old Forester 1897. Now, on this, it's interesting. I'm not getting as much of the citrus. I'm getting more of a woody type of aroma, almost a little maple in my estimation. Again, everybody's palate, everybody's nose is a little bit different, but I will say cheers. Now, this is very different than the 1870. Not as sharp, not as spicy, not as much sizzle. And what's interesting, this is a higher proof. This is 100 proof compared to the 1870, which is a 90 proof.
That is very interesting because I actually find the 1897 to be the most black pepper forward of the entire family. Before we had a rye, it was definitely the one that if you were a rye drinker, this was the one I would suggest for you. It makes a phenomenal Manhattan if that's your jam. But yeah, it's got a lot more dimension to it than the 1870. I will definitely give it that. There's a little bit more dark fruit that starts to come through at this stage. The higher proof, we always balance that out. You're never going to find an Old Forester that quote-unquote drinks hot. We've been in the game long enough where we know how to balance out age with proof concentration. So it's fine. But 1897, bottled and bond. I mean, that's a massive year for the spirits industry. It's a massive year for Old Forester. That was the first time that we switched over from being a 90-proof product to being 100-proof. And we've had 100-proof available ever since then. Consistently.
Very nice. Now, when you say bottled hot, define that term.
Drinks hot. When you go to drink whiskey or anything else, any sort of spirit, and it's not spice so much, it's just heat, and it's an ethanol hot. So you can graphically represent it if you really want to be a nerd about it. The longer you spend in the barrel, in a traditional setting, traditional barrel, traditional warehouse, traditional whatever, not talking like tiny barrels or wood chips in your barrel, no, just like standard barrel, you let it sit there. The longer you sit there, the longer you are going to be evaporating, so you're going to get more headspace. That headspace is going to lead to a little bit more oxidative reactions going on. It's going to smooth everything out a little bit. You are going to increase alcohol concentration depending on your maturation environment. So in a standard setting, and I'm not saying this is for everything. This is like a very like weird like slice of an example. So nobody get all upset about it, but you are going to need eventually to balance out a higher proof to be able to hold on to all of the things you've pulled and extracted out of that barrel over a long period of time. If you take a 2-year-old whiskey and bottle it at 100 proof, it's going to taste like ethanol. If you take a 10-year-old whiskey and bottle it at 100 proof, it's going to taste like well-rounded whiskey. So drinking hot, in the way that I use this term anyways, is just an explanation for something being too young for the proof point that it's at.
Gotcha. But I will tell you that this 100 proof is very smooth. It is not hot in any way, shape, or form. Very tasty. I mean, to me, and it's interesting, everybody's palate is different. So that's why I always tell people, if you're not sure, just go to a lounge, go to a bar, and do a vertical tasting. Say, look, give me the Old Forester 1870, give me the 1897, give me the 1910. Sometimes that's just the best way, just by doing a tasting flight, of determining what you prefer.
Completely. You're exactly right. And you bring up something that's so crucial that I think a lot of people, it's not that they don't realize it. It's just when you go to order whiskey, and let's be honest, some of the whiskeys on the shelf anymore can have a nice little price tag to them. Good whiskey doesn't have to be expensive, but when you're ordering anything at a bar, like it can add up quickly if you go to try like 6 different things, right? Never taste something by itself, ever. Always have something to compare it to, because that's how you learn which one has more dill to it, which one has more toasted marshmallow, blah, blah, blah. You just go in rogue. You're just swimming in an ocean. You can't see land anywhere. I don't even taste things singular. I always taste something side by side with something else as a reference point.
You have no reference points, so you may as well do a tasting. And what's interesting is, instead of going out and buying a bottle of everything, sometimes it could be expensive, but think about this. If you have usually 5 different samples of a shot of everything, figure, let's say it costs you $40, $50. Now, all of a sudden, you know exactly what you gravitate towards. You don't have to buy a bottle where you say, oh, you know what, I bought that bottle. It was $40, $50, $60. Now I don't like it. Now you know exactly what you like. So it's really a good reference point. Jackie Zycan, Master Taster, Old Forester. When we come back for our final and concluding segment, as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month, we will conduct the tasting of my Old Forester single barrel from Corona Cigar, the Old Forester 2007 birthday bourbon. And then we'll talk about some of the other bourbons in the Old Forster line, the 1910, the 1920, their rye whiskey, as we continue right around the corner.
Never miss a minute of the show when you download the Cigar Dave mobile app for Apple, Android, and Kindle devices. You can listen to our 24/7 continuous stream of the latest show or download the recent podcasts to listen to anytime on your mobile device. Get the Cigar Dave mobile app in the App Store. Search Cigar Dave.
Hi, I'm Rocky Patel. After 15 years of hard work, I'd like to introduce you to the Rocky Patel 15th Anniversary Cigar made at our factory in Esteli, Nicaragua. This cigar showcases a beautiful, oily Habano wrapper from Ecuador. Fillers from Esteli, Jalapa, and Condega make up a rich, complex, spicy taste with a lot of full flavor. The Decade, another one of our masterpieces. Made in Honduras, beautiful Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper with secret fillers. It received a 95 rating, one of the highest rated cigars ever in Cigar Aficionado. This medium to full body cigar is rich, complex, yet elegant and well balanced. 15 years ago, they thought we'd never make it in the business. 10 years ago, they thought we'd never last. 5 years ago, they started paying attention. Now, we're right where we belong, in your hand. So enjoy the 15th anniversary and the decade these cigars will deliver.
The selections in the Cigar Dave Officers Club receive rave reviews from our members, and for good reason. We send out fantastic cigars, the latest and greatest to our members, new cigars, unique cigars, incredible vertical samplers of cigars, and we have a great selection for September 2019. We are featuring the Plasencia Alma del Campo. It is a beautiful Nicaraguan puro, Nicaraguan wrapper, filler, and binder. The wrapper is a beautiful milk chocolatey brown wrapper with
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Your Five Star General is back in 5, 4, 3, 2.
To get me high, and then I'll say goodbye. No way, good day. She hung me out to dry. One bottle of bourbon and I still sober from
final segment. We celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month. Next week, a big, gigantic tasting with Sommelier Dave and Tommy Diadio of the Davidoff Store and Lounge and Corona Cigar. Jackie Zykan, master taster of Old Forster, our guest, Old Forster, the first bottled bourbon in America. Great history behind the brand. Jackie, let's talk about the Old Forster 1910 and 1920.
Yes, delicious expressions. These are the most recent releases for that whole lineup of Whiskey Row. The 1910 is actually the only expression we have that has a secondary finishing to it. So it goes into a barrel that's been charred to the point of near disintegration for 7 to 9 months. And then it's bottled at 93 proof. It's like liquid Nutella had a baby with Wild Turkey. It's amazing. It's got this nice charry note to it, but I wouldn't call it smoky, but there's definitely a hint of char and a lot of nice chocolate tones. So that actually just re-released. We ran out. We sold out an entire year supply in 3 weeks, and we just now got stock back up. So go out and find it. It shouldn't run out again, but if it does, don't hold it against us. You people just drink too much.
So is that a limited release then every year?
It's not. No, we just didn't figure out the demand. I mean, we based our numbers off of 1920, which has been killing it. Right. So we thought we were in a safe place, and then we go to release it, and literally 3 weeks gone. Totally gone. It's so good.
Wow. Now, let's talk about the 1920, higher proof, 115, so probably not for the amateur bourbon drinker.
It isn't, but I think it's a nice entry into higher proof whiskey, to be honest. So it's actually deceptively smooth for being 115 proof. And the reason for that proof point is that back in 1920s, Old Forester actually was sold during Prohibition throughout its entirety under Kentucky Permit Number 3 to sell medicinal whiskey. So there's that aspect. But it's interesting. Like, if you would have gotten whiskey in 1920, it would have been bottled in bonds. That's 100 proof. We already did a bottled in bonds, so, like, we don't really need to release another one, do we? So what are we going to do differently? That was our barrel strength in 1920. So this is meant to be a, quote-unquote, vintage barrel strength. If you get the good stuff from someone on the inside, straight from the barrel, this is what you would have gotten. So it's the most minimally filtered Old Forester available so far, and it's exquisite, absolutely exquisite.
How does it differ from the 1910?
Well, the 1910 goes through that secondary finishing, right? And it's only 93 proof. Flavor-wise, the 1920, obviously, it's got a little bit more warmth to it. It's got a lot of oak influence, and it's got a lot of dark fruit. So if you like those raisiny, port kind of flavors with sherry notes that come through on bourbon from time to time, this is definitely the one for you. It waters back nicely. It dilutes very nicely and in a balanced fashion. Some high-proof whiskeys, I will give this out, on the market. You water them back, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I know why they put it in the bottle, that high-proof, because all of the defects are hidden in high-proof, and they start coming out. And that is not the case with 1920. It's a very solid journey, start to finish.
I will get my hands on the 1910 and 1920 for sure. Let's talk about the Old Forster rye whiskey. It's got a 65% rye content, 20% malted barley, 15% corn. And when we think about rye, we think about more of a peppery, richer flavor, a little sizzle on the palate. Tell us about the complexion of the Old Forster 100 proof rye.
Yep. So with that 20% malted barley in there, you're actually going to get a little bit more balance of fruit notes and floral notes, and not so much just that savory rye and spice. So it does balance out well. It is bottled at 100 proof, and it's priced line price with the 100 proof everyday bourbon. So it is a steal for the quality of whiskey that you are getting, hands down. But it's unlike other ryes on the market. I think a lot of people are really familiar with the quote unquote Indiana style rye, 9,500% rye. That is not this at all. Those are very flatlined, very monotone, very much just rye. Right, dill
just
pickle,
like rye,
is what I always think
of
it.
Right, a lot of pepper, sizzle. This is a little more complex.
Yeah, this is a lot of complexity.
All right, now let's talk about the Old Forster single barrel, because I know you oversee the single barrel program where people or entities can come up, buy their own barrel. Our good friends over at Corona Cigar and the Davidoff Store and Lounge in the Cigar City of Tampa, they every year do probably about 6 barrels of different from different distillers, and back, I think, about a year or so ago, they did an Old Forester single barrel with you. And Tommy Diadio, who is the Executive Vice President of Spirits Procurement of Corona Cigar and Davidoff, gave me a taste of it. And he said, here, take the bottle. And there's about three-quarters of the bottle left. It is from Warehouse G, floor number 2. And when I tell you, you know, when you think of a single barrel, you think, okay, there's going to be a lot of heat. There's going to be a lot of flavor, a lot of sizzle. It's probably going to be very rich. When I tell you this single barrel is ultra smooth and ultra tasty, that is an understatement. It is spectacular.
Yeah, the single barrel program, I mean, we've been rolling with that one since 2013, give or take. We've done a lot to improve the program, but yeah, we like to keep a diversity. So that particular bottling is phenomenal. I mean, everyone is phenomenal. They're just all very different because not everybody likes the spicy whiskey. Not everyone likes the sweet whiskey. So we keep a nice little mix. But G Warehouse is one of my favorite warehouses down in Shively. G and H, those are my personal preference spots. So I'm really excited you got to drink whiskey from G House because that's so great.
Now, why do you like G and H better than the – why is that your favorite?
They've yielded – more consistent barrels that are more conducive to my personal palate preference. I don't do the big giant spice tobacco bombs. I prefer right. something that is a little bit more sweet aromatic forward personally. So I don't know. H5 is, if you ever find single barrels from H5, that is my spot. So yeah, but we do, I don't know, 30 to 40 across the country a year. We've actually just started doing them in the UK and, it's a fantastic process. You know, it's a true single barrel, and they're like snowflakes. They're all completely different, and you're never going to be able to fully replicate it ever again.
And you personally select the barrels. So anybody coming up, they would deal with you. And this single barrel from Warehouse G42 for Corona Cigar, I will tell you that I would call it a combination of sweet and spicy. Little bit of sweetness, little bit of spicy, definite some clove, definite little bit of a maple type of a flavor with a little bit of warmth, but it's very complex, very, very nice. And now I know why Tommy said there's a big run for people that just want a straight shot of the Old Forester single barrel that you've selected with them. It's great.
Yes.
Okay, now we have to move into probably one of the best expressions of bourbon, not only by Old Forester, but of any distiller in the country, the Old Forester Birthday Bourbon. Tell me about the history of birthday bourbon.
Sure. So we started that expression back in 2002. It is a vintage-dated bourbon, and what does that even mean with bourbon? It's one day's production. Whatever you end up with at the end of its maturity cycle is going to be what you get. With B-Day, we get maybe about 10 to 15% yield out of those barrels. So you get a really, really highly concentrated flavor profile. Now, the whole story behind it, though, is that George Garvin Brown's birthday is September 2nd. So obviously we release it in honor of George's birthday, hence the birthday bourbon. It's fantastic. Every year is different, which is the best part about it. It's sort of a nice little surprise every year of what it's going to be. But this year's, I think that is the highest proof we've ever done. It's 105 proof this year. It just made sense, though. We taste it from 86 proof, 87, 88, 89, 90, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Every single proof point up to barrel strength, which is about 160. And we find the sweet spot where it sings its best song. So 105 was the one we landed on and actually agreed upon this year. We don't always agree. There's always a big fight about it. But
now, the Old Forester 2019 Birthday Bourbon is being released, I believe, has been released right about now?
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's out.
Right, and that was distilled on May 15th, 2008, on the second floor of Warehouse I. And you and Master Distiller Chris Morris selected proof this year's limited edition, so I can't wait to get that. Now, I'm going to taste the Old Forester Birthday Bourbon that was distilled in the spring of 94, bottled in 2007. Let me take a quick taste. Oh, wow. Citrus, maple, a little bit of orange, just perfect. I've got to savor this and save it for a long, long time because when it's gone, it's gone. Jackie, we have enjoyed having you on the show today talking about Old Forester. We hope to have you on again. Thank you so much for spending time with us as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month.
Thank you so, so much. It has been so much fun.
Fantastic. Jackie's Icann, Master Taster, Old Forster, Cigar Dave, the General, saying Mayor Humidor always be full, Mayor Cutter always be sharp, Mayor Ashby extra, extra long, Semper Delectatio always pleasure, long live the Alpha, and may your bourbon always be smooth.
He's alive!
Mary Shelley's spine-tingling classic comes to the Reading stage in all its theatrical glory. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Frankenstein, written by Mary Shelley, adapted by Andrew Billiter, directed by Matt McDonald. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30. Sunday matinees at 2. September 21st through October 19th. Come see a show unlike anything you've seen on the Riverfront stage before, if you dare.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The View, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Get your car squeaky clean at Quick and Clean Car Wash in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean Car Wash on the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros is open 7 days a week.